I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Is racist. It's just racist, racist, racist. Let me be clear about something. The people that were here are the indigenous folk. And you know who ICE been rounding up? They've been rounding up indigenous people. The people that originally came, not the colonizers, but the original people. So what this is about is whiteness. Everything that this administration has pushed has been about white supremacy. You want to sit up here and act like the crime is being perpetrated by people of color, but the statistics say otherwise. If you look at the real numbers, I know that y'all believe in propaganda and y'all don't want people to know the truth and y'all definitely don't want them to know history, because then you gotta, again, acknowledge colonizing. But nevertheless, when you look at the numbers, you want to tell me about one-offs. And listen, as a criminal defense attorney, I have represented people of all colors. Let me tell you, anybody can commit a crime on any given day.
Well, I will agree with that from Crockett, Jasmine Crockett, pushing again the race card. And also calling out that crime, basically black-on-black crime, doesn't really exist in her world. Just it's not due to them. It's what the white man has pushed the black people into doing. To go out and kill your neighbor. I had Christopher Arps, of course, the co-host of the Tim Jones Chris Arps program that precedes us every day, on the other day. And we were talking about the black-on-black crime, how it is still prevalent. It still happens in communities on a constant basis, and it's to the dismay and the death of the black community. And yet some inside their own circles are saying, we don't want any more police in our area. The hell they don't. They do. And more black citizens, law-abiding citizens, are making sure they have a gun to protect themselves and their family, and rightly so. And where most of the crime happens is obviously in those areas, and where also it spills into like downtown St. Louis, where they come out of the communities and go to look and attack maybe indefensible targets. That's why you have the Second Amendment. Doesn't mean you have to shoot someone, but just having it and them seeing that you have it might be enough to make them go away, which is better than having to shoot and kill. But if you have to defend yourself or your family, what are you going to do? You're going to do what is necessary. I don't know anyone who could disagree with that statement. But again, you got Jasmine Crockett saying ICE is racist and everything going on is racist. And you are lied to if you think it's the blacks are responsible for all the crime. No one is saying they're responsible for all the crime. And if she's talking about history and stats, you're going to find that, yes, that does happen mostly in that black community. Now, are there issues that we can deal with that might bring it down? Yes. And are there a lot of black kids that come out of black neighborhoods that are plagued by crime, including drugs, that come out and become successful fathers? And businessmen, maybe business leaders, yes. Because we are the land of opportunity. But these race baiters constantly dangle that in front of everyone because they know it gins up more hatred. And it's a lie. She says, you don't want to deal with the facts of the real story. Yeah, we do. The problem is you don't. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are on July 23rd, 2026. Reminding you, when we're on the air, we are broadcasting live streaming. You can watch the program. You go to Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. Everything going up as a podcast later after we finish the program. Available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com. Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any Facebook, or rather any platform that has podcasts, simply search Larry Connors USA. And let me remind you again, please, use your phone. It is your radio. You simply download the free News Talk STL app onto your phone. Go to your app store on your phone, whatever carrier you have, go to the app store, search and find News Talk STL. Easy to remember, News Talk STL. And then download the app. It is free. And then you can listen to it whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you are, wherever you are. You're on the far side of the globe, you can still do it. You listen to the program that's on the air at that moment, which would right now be Larry Connors USA. Glad to have you listening one way or the other. And again, I pointed out, I do it on my phone, and I often just play it through the Bluetooth in the phone. So I've got great speakers. I don't have to put headsets on. I just use the car speakers and listen through the app, News Talk STL, absolutely free. And with Larry Connors USA, we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. And when we're on the air, we're bringing you news, analysis, commentary, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have as we began. And one part of your education is already underway, and there's going to be another part in our next segment. I have a guest on board who says, there is no America first with Mexico last. What's meant by that? My guest will give his opinion as we move forward. In the meantime, as we've seen recently in Congress, the Smithsonian Institution, funded and supported basically by our government to a large extent, is turned into racist white ideology in the sense of cursing whites and calling out racism, just like Jasmine Crockett did, and basically labelizing anything they consider wrong as it's white power acts in play. For instance, they make a point in their mass media kit, which the director of the Smithsonian said the other day, well, I don't know. I don't know everything in it. Well, you're the director. I think you should know this. Granted, it's a 200-page document, but this is what all the institutions supposedly work off of, and that inside that basically says politeness is a sign of white superiority. Really? Because you're being polite? Oh, they're talking about if you say yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am. It's hearkening back to the days of slavism. Well, you had to respond to the master. Nah, master. Yes, master. That's not at all what it is. It's being polite, respectful. And they have basically been under assault and taken over by the liberal wing. And you've got a member of the Heritage Foundation who makes it very clear. He said, the Smithsonian Institution is not what it was originally planned to be, and in fact has been hijacked, and we need to make changes, and they need to happen sooner than later. Heritage Foundation Senior Fellow Mike Gonzalez.
What do we do going forward? How do we resolve this? How do we fix this? Because it's clearly a problem. It's dividing our country. What's the path forward?
I'm saddened to say that you do need to clean out house at the Smithsonian. You have to replace the leadership. I don't think the 603 review process is going to fix anything. I don't think trying to reform with the present leadership is going to do anything. They're committed to the things they want to do. We only have to listen to what they say and look at the evidence of what they have produced. I think you need to work with the Board of Regents to effect this change.
Yeah. Work with the Board of Regents, effect the change, and make changes because they have taken over the Institute, basically. And we know that. It's all very clear. There is no doubt whatsoever about it. And the more we allow them to fester and control the institution, then the more we're going to have to deal with what they do, what they create. You're not going to expect to have salvation overnight because we allowed it to decay slowly. It's like your house. If you're not making sure the structure is sound at all the time, and if you got cracks in the brick or the mortar falling off, shingles falling off, if you don't take some care of it, it is going to decay on you sooner than later. So Michael Gonzalez, we've often had him on before as a spokesman. in his view, and again, he's with the Heritage Foundation speaking about, you've got to get control of this again.
This past five.
And in the meantime, I'm glad you reminded me, Trump was in Georgia and talking about what he's done already for Americans.
Filing season, 130,000 tipped workers right here in Georgia saved an average of more than $7,000 on their taxes, and that's because of no tax on tips. As an example, 700,000 Georgia workers saved an average of over $3,000 thanks to no tax on overtime, and 500,000 Georgia seniors paid $0 on their Social Security benefits thanks to no tax on Social Security.
Yeah, it's all good. Sounds good, doesn't it? If you're not having to pay tax on tips, great. If you're not having to pay tax on income, overtime income, great again. Now, I've been told by some of young people working, and I've got to be careful in this area. I don't want to give away the source, but basically saying their employer is taking into account that they're getting tips and not going to be taxed on it, so they're building in... The employer is building in an added, how would we phrase this, a tariff upon their employees, taking money out of their pocket that they figure they already made in tips. Well, it's not just stealing from the employee, it is stealing from the government in that sense, if they're handling it that way. I don't have all the details, it's just I've heard enough about it. We do know that another thing that Trump had introduced, which is getting a lot of positive reaction, and that is the Trump accounts that you can set up. One father stepped forward in the Georgia rally yesterday talking about how important this is for his child and other children.
Thank you, Mr. President, and the White House staff for allowing my family to be a part of this special event. It is truly an honor. Thank you, Mr. President, and your administration for the hard work and commitment that the Trump account that made the Trump account possible. As a father, it's encouraging to know that our children's future can begin with an investment from day one. To every eligible new parent, I encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity by opening a Trump account for your child and continuing to invest in it each and every year. Mr. President, thank you for your continued commitment to investing in American families. And on behalf of my wife and me, thank you for providing our children with a greater opportunity to pursue and achieve their American dream. Thank you, and God bless America.
God bless America. USA, USA, baby. That was Cole London, not correction on that, Loden, former Kennesaw State football player. Georgia's third largest university is Kennesaw State University. And he was praising Trump for what you're doing to help my family and other kids as they come up. The Trump account is a perfect starting point for them. And in the meantime, you look at where we are with some of the issues involving Trump and how it's happening and how it's playing out. Well, if you look at these issues and you look at how he's being rated, well, Trump, first of all, talking about how he did in the state of Georgia and expects to do it again.
But I'm thrilled to be back in the great state of Georgia with thousands of proud, hardworking American patriots. That's what you are. And with your help in 2024, we earned more votes than any candidate in Georgia history. There's never been anything like it. And when I say that, I have to be careful because look at all the fake news back there. They will correct me. They will say, he said he earned more. If I didn't earn, if I was 2 votes short, they would say, he's lying, he's lying. But I have to be careful. No, we weren't. We had more votes than any candidate in the history of this great state, and I'm very proud. I love Georgia. I've always loved it. And every day since, I've been fighting for the people of Georgia like no president has ever fought before. You're doing well, too. We're going to keep it that way.
Now, there's a CNN survey pointed out by Harry Enten, and it points out how Trump is being approved across the nation, especially inside the Republican Party. Harry Enten.
Trump is still very popular with Republicans. Just take a look here. Okay, 21st century own party approval rating, about at this point in second term. We got Trump, we got Obama, we got Bush. Look, they're all fairly popular, but the one who is the most popular, and we have seen this time in and time out, no matter when you look, is Donald John Trump. He's the only one who's over 80%. 83% of Republicans still approve of the job that Donald Trump is doing as president. He still has that magic touch. We'll see if it carries over to South Carolina, but we've seen it in primaries this year. Senate primaries, and that's because he is still a very popular man, historically popular when it comes to his own party liking and approving of the job that he's doing.
Now, again, that is a CNN survey. I'm going to give you balance here. A Fox News survey showing voters unhappy, they want major change. According to their survey, Republicans joining Democrats and independents in rating the economy negative. 4 in 10 voters want dramatic or revolutionary change. More Democrats say they are extremely motivated to vote in November than Republicans. By that number, we're talking about 68% more Democrats. 57% Republicans are more motivated. And in fact, if the election were today, according to this survey, 53% of the voters would back the Democrat candidate in their House districts. 46% would vote for the Republican. That is why the midterms are definitely so important. And one of those looking at these at a 2024 presidential vote, again, reference a Fox report, Trump and former Vice President Harris within 10 points? Really? In the meantime, the poll's pointing out there is disillusionment in both parties. 48% of the Democrats, 41% of Republicans say they feel betrayed by their party. Where do you stand? Keep in mind, there is now voting open, early voting in the state of Missouri. The actual vote date is August 4, but you can vote early now. Check with your voting precinct. And if you need to cast a vote early because you might be out of Missouri on August 4 or it might not work for your schedule, do it now. Make sure you vote. Do not fail to vote and then start complaining. I don't want to hear that clap. Coming up, can America be great with America with Mexico last? What does that mean? My guest will explain. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We often hear, obviously, Trump say we want to make America great again. MAGA. Well, my guest is head of the National Food and Commerce Union, Alejandro Martinez, and he says America first. How are you going to do that? There is no America first with a Mexico last. Alejandro, glad to have you on board with us. Let's pick up on that.
Hello, thank you very much for having me.
You bet.
Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. Well, let's begin with that statement. When you say there is no America first with a Mexican last or Mexico last, explain, please.
Of course, we have been seeing for decades the illusion that Mexican cheap labor in Mexico and in America would strengthen our economies, made life cheaper and more affordable for Mexicans and Americans. And just exactly the opposite happened. Forgetting the Mexican working class and letting them earn poverty wages took away from America a lot of American well-paid jobs, relocated a lot of American companies to Mexico and other Asian countries, and impoverished our working class in both our countries. We have lived that already. We don't need to repeat that formula. I think that a strong supply chain means Mexican workers earning good wages in Mexico. So our field workers, our hotel, restaurant workers can come back to a life with dignity, and American workers can keep their jobs well paid because there is no migrants cheapening your labor on the fields or on your dairy industry or your grain industry. And Americans can get back to work because you have 120 million Americans not working right now and 40 million on food stamps. And I think we could work on that together to have the most powerful economic bloc the world has ever seen.
Now, inside your statement, there is the argument that many say, well, Americans won't do the cheap labor that the Mexican workers and imported workers will do. But the other side of the argument is, if you pay them better wages, yes, Americans will do it. And if you raise the rates and pay wages in Mexico, then they won't come across the border to do that. Is that essentially what you're reinforcing?
Exactly. We think the root cause of all our evils, national security, border crossing, illegal migration, fentanyl, gasoline trafficking, children trafficking, migrant trafficking in Mexico has the same root cause, and that's poverty wages. When Mexicans have a good job, a well-paying job, they don't want to cross the border and risk their lives. They don't want to join the cartels knowing they can be killed any day. And we have to work on that together. And that helps American also to have better wages. To go back to the farms, farming is a great job to have. And America was a farmer's country for centuries.
Yeah. And then you have your own border issues at your southern border, those trying to come up through Central America, the triangle, trying to migrate into your country because you're still paying, even though you're depressed wages, you're paying more than what they're getting in their areas.
Exactly. We suffered 4 years of the Biden administration opening the border on the north. That cost millions of migrants from South and Central America to walk through Mexico, many of them staying here. At least 4 of each 10 migrants stood in Mexico fest, and now they're cheapening our labor too. They are joining the cartels too. So we have the same issues as you guys. We just don't have the political will and the money.
Well, what about the USMCA?
That was a migration policy.
I'm sorry. I thought you cut out, and I apologize for stepping on you. But what about the USMCA? It supposedly was going to join U.S., Mexico, and Canada, and between the three of us, we'd make North America great again. Not just America, but North America.
That's our slogan. I think the next step is make North America great again. Mexico and the U.S. are the biggest trade partners in the world. We are the solution to your China problems. We share values. We share Christian foundation. We share family values, which is more important than ever. And we share a common enemy. And I think if the communists are coming after us, we have to join forces and go forward with a trade deal.
Well, you led me right into my next statement. You must be looking over my shoulder. And that is the China challenge that we're facing and you are also facing.
Yes, China has been trying to use Mexico as a backdoor for a lot of years. Mexico already imposed 50% tariffs on Chinese goods and other Asian countries. So we have already moved towards the solution that is a joint venture with you guys towards the future and not with China. Now we have to work together on the West, because China is getting stronger, as you have seen, and is trying any measures to become even stronger in the future. And I think the U.S. and Mexico can combat this together.
Now, on that point, if we're going to combat it together, we also have the issue that, as you point out, and you're concerned about, there is no fair trade on poverty wages.
Right.
Explain, please.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If President Trump is worried or James Greer is worried about dumping our unfair trade, we will never get there if we get three times less or five times less money than you guys for the same job on the same company. We have to make sure through your unions, through the USMCA, through your pressure, of course, to push Mexico to raise wages to at least your federal minimum, and enforce the Chapter 23A to end fake unionism once and for all. We are brothers of the same struggles, the American workers and the Mexican workers, and this is the way to go forward to strengthen both working classes.
All right, let's get a handle on exactly what the National Food and Commerce Union, it is Mexico's leading union dedicated to protecting workers in the commerce food sectors. You are Mexican, correct?
Yes, I'm Mexican.
And you 100%. Reside and you reside there, and that is your country.
Of course, we're in Mexico City right now.
Right. So how does that stack up with trying to get your word across to the unions here in the U.S., the United Food and Commercial Workers International? How do you work with them? They got about 1.2 million men and women. Where do you stand in your numbers and your relationship?
Of course, we are representing workers in leading global companies like PepsiCo, Hershey, Mars, Mondelez, Bimbo, to name just a few of them. We share a lot of employers with the Teamsters, for example. We have had very productive talks with them. We have had our massive voting 3 months ago. 200 workplaces voted 99.6% in favor, with an 85% turnout. So we have a very, very big muscle over here. And we're thinking about a joint verification alliance between unions and other institutions. So we make sure that the chapters, the labor chapters in the USMCA are enforced. So that's it. We have been doing this for 106 years, so we know our deal.
So are you actually achieving things, or are we still just looking at pie in the sky?
Well, at least all these matters have been discussed with Ways and Means, with DOL, with President Trump's administration. And I know in the review, they have been debating these issues of regional baseline, or of course, in the automotive industry, mainly of fake unionism, protecting real grassroots movements. So yeah, for sure, we have been moving the needle in that direction towards stronger jobs in America and in Mexico.
And again, back to the issue that we all have a common enemy, and that would be China. And China would love nothing better mm-hmm. than to have a strong foothold in Mexico.
Of course.
What's being?
We just closed the door with 50% tariffs. Imagine the hit that China took. They will try. They know the nearshoring of their companies. They get subsidized from the government. they don't care about losing money. They just want to be here. And you know that means also national security issues, spying, stealing private intellectual property. And I think our government has made a strong statement with these tariffs. And they have said to the American government they want to move forward with America and not with the communists.
Are they doing as much as they can or should be doing reference to cartels?
We should do much more. Of course, it's not enough. The Mexican working class and Mexicans are trapped in not just a poverty trap, it's just an insecurity trap. You cannot have the field workers in Mexico free working their fields. You have cartels everywhere with a gun on their heads. You all are paying for the cartels when you buy berries, when you buy avocado. You're paying tariffs and taxes to the cartels because they take money from the working class on every field. So we have to work on this together
I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's something I wanted to, before we wrap up the conversation, talk about the farm workers mm-hmm. and the work you're doing in Mexico and products coming into the USA on the trade agreements and everything.
Yeah.
Often we have cartel attachments to it.
Of course. I think what I talked last week with DOL was, we have to give teeth to the trade deal. We have to give enough budget and credibility, because they know all the parts in Mexico where the cartels are governing the fields, and all the products that are coming to you guys with cartel taxing on top of them, and they're not doing really anything about it. So I hope with this review, this is going to change, and our people in both countries are going to live freely, have cheaper goods with better wages and stronger jobs in America and in Mexico too.
And your final line is, a stronger Mexico doesn't have to come at the expense of American workers.
That's an uncomfortable truth. When a Mexican worker do well, American workers do better.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Alejandro Martinez, head of the National Food and Commerce Union in Mexico. Thank you, sir, very much. Coming up, Trump dealing with those who say we're not going to win, we never should have got into the Iran war. What is your thought? And also, Joe Rogan has a guest, he says, later went out and cut off someone's head. Still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, this is what we believe what's happening here in Pickaxe, underground nuclear tunnel complex near the Natanz site, as I just mentioned. And why would you be concerned about this? Well, the Israelis just this week said this might be the area where the Iranians are storing or have moved their centrifuges. And what could you do with that? You could use those centrifuges to rebuild your nuclear program. And that is the worry. Why it's difficult to hit? That's a mountain. It's about 5,000 feet high and about 300 to 450 feet underground is where the centrifuges may be located. So what do you do? Do you hit it? And if so, can you be successful? This is tough, tough mountain built of granite.
That is a Fox report on Trump dealing with Pickaxe Mountain. And Trump has indicated that he might certainly consider doing that. As Ari said, we will if we need to. And, of course, there is a concern about, well, can you actually get to it and be effective using attacks from the air? Brian Book is a former U.S. representative to Iran in talking about where we stand now in dealing with Iran on any kind of talks and our escalation.
I think the president does have to hit Pickaxe Mountain because Iran has learned over the earlier strikes on the nuclear facilities that anything above ground is at risk of being destroyed. And so Iran has always been thinking many steps ahead about putting a nuclear facility so deep that it's that no bombs could penetrate it. But that doesn't mean that you have to get to the very bottom to neuter this facility. There's a lot of stuff above ground that you can hit and still accomplish your objective of denying Iran the ability to put its nuclear facility underground.
And in the meantime, we've got another chokehold, I should say, being exercised by the Houthi rebels at Yemen, trying to shut down ships that made it through the Strait of Hormuz, and then moving down through the Red Sea, going into the Gulf of Aden. Houthi rebels have been striking back, hitting Saudi oil tankers in the Red Sea earlier today, while we were carrying out last night a 12th straight night of strikes against Iran infrastructure, military and civil. And Trump had made it very clear, every time you fire upon a merchant ship and certainly our U.S. Navy, we're going to respond and we're going to go after your infrastructure, your bridges, your power supply plants. This is going to cripple Iran more, but the people that are going to be hurt, obviously, are the Iranian citizens who really don't want to be in any of this, would like to go back to 1979 when they were considered the most Western nation, aside from Israel, in the Middle East, until the Ayatollahs took over. So the shooting continues, and the reports are that because of now the escalation going past the Strait of Hormuz, now hitting ships as they leave or enter the Gulf of Aden, going up the Red Sea to the Suez Canal, oil topping $100. That, of course, is going to catch a lot of attention from those who are trying to defeat Trump in the midterms and candidates he would endorse. And today we saw more of that coming to the floor. The House today passing a Democrat-backed War Powers resolution aimed at limiting Trump's military actions in Iran, 214 to 208 on this bill sponsored by Congresswoman Yayapaw. I said, Bill, it's really a resolution. It's not binding at this point. It's a vote of conscience. And four Republicans joined in supporting the measure. Congressmen Barrett of Michigan, Davidson of Ohio, Massey, Kentucky, Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania. That's in the House. And in the meantime, Senate Republicans growing increasingly concerned about what they say there is no clear plan to end the military conflict. Well, that's just exactly what those who want to see us walk away from Iran and just retreat in full want. And they're going to push that. They're calling this a never-ending war. They're calling it a quagmire. I don't see that it's a never-ending war. I don't call it a quagmire. And especially if we don't have boots on the ground, which I stand opposed to. If we have to have boots on the ground to go after the target inside Pickaxe Mountain, the Gulf allies should be doing that. But then again, how much strength are we getting from the Gulf allies, and are they in turn getting a little nervous? Brian Book again, former U.S. representative to Iran.
Right. You have a lot of Gulf countries that are very nervous about Iran counterattacking and taking out energy facilities all across the Gulf. And if that were to happen, you could see a very sharp elevation in energy prices and in gas prices. And so I think you have a lot of very nervous Gulf allies about Iran striking back. They've already shown a willingness and a capability to hit energy facilities around the Gulf, but they've held back a lot. And so I think our allies are very nervous, and that's why they're trying to negotiate some sort of diplomatic path. You heard Secretary Rubio talk about the door to diplomacy is open, and that's exactly the right position while the president answers every Iranian military provocation with a response on our side. I think the long-term path is a dual strategy of answering Iran militarily while running the economic blockade, the naval blockade that he's doing. The Iranian economy is very fragile. And the president was right to start the maximum economic pressure campaign in his first administration. He's got 2.5 years left to let this run. And I think because Iran is this very fragile Marxist economy, that's its biggest vulnerability. That's its weakness. And you have to focus on that while you're also answering them militarily when they hit ships.
And again, with the midterms, the pressure is on because oil prices, if they're going to be going up, they are up globally as a result as the supply lines tighten. Oil prices now at a six-week high. It takes a while for it to get to your pump, but it hits it sooner at the pump than it comes down from the pump. You know that. A couple of months ago, a professor at Chicago University, Robert Papp, who's often been involved with presidential decisions in the Middle East and at least offering his advice and his direction, suggested that America had made the bad mistake of getting into this. You could call that a contrarian view. Some would say, no, that's actually a realistic view. And if our Gulf allies are needed, will they be there? Robert Papp on his latest view.
Iran is stronger today than it was before the war started. And this is literally the nightmare scenario that we've been worrying about. And the reason you're having me here is because in the next few months, the world economic crisis is going to grow.
And it does appear that you've been largely correct about what you said would happen.
It's because I've been modeling the bombing of Iran 20 years, and I've advised every White House from 2001 to 2024 on different issues related to conflict. conflict. And right now, we're coming into the stage three prediction. We're like on the Titanic, and we're about to hit the iceberg. And when the iceberg hits, there's not enough lifeboats for everybody. So we are knocking on the door of the world literally running out of oil. And then on top of that, Stephen, we have another set of problems. For example, Iran is attacking our base in Jordan, and we're in our ninth day of bombing in a row. And the scale of eliminating the drone and missile threat is much bigger than people realize, because they hide those drones everywhere.
So how real is the risk that the U.S. will do some kind of limited ground operation with boots on the ground in Iran?
It's bordering on 70% now, probably by the end of this week. But I'm concerned about terrorist attack, because controlling pieces of homeland territory is the biggest risk factor for suicide terrorism. So the choice is, do we have a global economic crisis, possibly recession, possibly worse, or do we let Iran control the Strait of Hormuz?
Again, that's Robert Papp, a University of Chicago professor. Some of the points he made, I would agree with. Not all of them. What do you think? And I'm not dismissing him, and you shouldn't either. Some of the points he makes are worth considering. Certainly when it comes to inside our own borders. Well, we have the issue inside our borders because Joe Biden had open border policy. Thank you, Joe Biden. And then we were telling you yesterday that there are reports from a former CIA agent that terrorists are planning numerous attacks in the near future involving planes, and not just trying to take control and fly it into some target, but exploding in air. If that starts happening, it's going to be created, obviously, a major crisis. But are we doing enough then to make sure we're protecting passengers on planes? And we talk about the drones, and they're not just there in Iran, but Cuba, 300-plus supplied by China and Russia. And they can strike Florida and beyond. And they can also hit cruise ships in the area if they choose. And Secretary of State Rubio is now being quoted as saying, we're not just looking at an eye for an eye, we're looking at a head for an eye if they're going to continue to hit us. President Trump today did once again talk about this deal with Saudi Arabia, which I've been not denouncing, but raising some issues with in my commentary today. It runs around 7:30, around 12:10, and then again around just before 4 o'clock. If you miss it, you can always catch it. But focusing on the Saudi 1-2-3 deal, which would give Saudi, the government, an opportunity to enrich uranium, not to weapons grade. But this is exactly what Iran and why we're there. They say we just want it for civilian purposes, but we know they have a sinister plot in mind. Saudi Arabia has been our friend for 90-plus years. But as I pointed out in the commentary, 90 years in that part of the world is equivalent to 90 seconds. They're talking about generations upon generations. And your friend today could well be your enemy tomorrow. We've got to keep that in mind. But the president today saying, we're going to go ahead and work with them on their nuclear facilities, but they must first sign off. There will be no deal, and it will only be for non-military use anyway, but it is not going to happen unless the Saudis join the Abraham Accords, which they had started to do before the Iran war began to break out, because that's really what incited Iran to get its proxies to gin up war and military action across the Gulf. And they're doing it. Coming up, I had mentioned Joe Rogan had a guest on who's now been charged with beheading someone. I'll have that story. And also Trump talking about the radical left.
But while our administration is lifting up the next generation with the power of freedom and American capitalism, proven all over the world when it's done right. It's not always done right, but when it's done right, there's nothing like it. The radical left is actively trying to destroy our children's future with the disaster known as communism. It's communism. This isn't a social democrat. These are communists. By another name, right? America is back. It's stronger than ever before. And I'm telling you, it's only going one way. It's going up. As long as we keep our current thinking, our current system, it's going up. If you go the other way, nothing ever succeeds. I made the statement once, with communism, everything turns to shit. Okay? It's true. Terrible thing. It's true. My wife hates it when I do that. She said, you were doing so nicely, and then you had to use a foul word.
He was addressing a crowd in Georgia yesterday. All right, as I mentioned, Joe Rogan, a guest he had on his podcast, during yesterday's episode, he was recalling a 2024 interview with Sheldon Johnson while discussing sociopaths. Now, Johnson was an ex-con who portrayed himself as a reformed criminal justice advocate. And Rogan, in quoting him from his program, we had a guy in the studio that cut a guy's head off after the podcast. He killed a guy and cut his head off. He does a podcast and then afterward goes and visits this guy that he apparently had a beef with, kills him, cuts his head off, puts him in a suitcase, like puts a wig on, then tries to escape in the hallway through the cameras. Johnson is an ex-con, again, who had claimed he was a reformed criminal justice advocate. And according to Rogan, he's now charged, and he is, with not only killing this enemy of his in his New York City apartment, dismembering his body, stashing the remains in multiple locations, and part of that involved cutting the guy's head off. And Joe Rogan said he sat right here in the studio talking about he wanted to be an advocate for the public defender's office in Queens. According to New York Post, the man could be heard begging for mercy before gunshots were fired. And then the guy charged with the murder was seen in different disguises going in and out of the apartment. Both of the guys had served time in prison. The relationship of their relationship is still kind of unclear, but the bottom guy line is that Rogan's guest is now charged with not just killing the guy, but cutting his head off and then dismembering him. Yeah, he was saying, I'm reformed, and I'm advocating for criminal justice. Well, you might not want to be advertising and advocating for criminal justice for yourself going forward at this point. Mercy, maybe. Please make sure you join us again tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.